Today's shiur is Masechta Baba Basra, Daf Tzadik Gimel. We will begin on Daf Tzadik Beis, Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. In our previous shiur, we had learned the machloikus of Rav and Shmuel, if Hochma Mamon Acharoiv or Ein Hochma Mamon Acharoiv. If when it comes to financial issues, do we follow Roiv or not? Shmuel's opinion was that Ein Hochma Mamon Acharoiv, that when it comes to question of financial matters, the halacha does not allow us to go after Roiv. Rav's opinion was that Hochma Mamon Acharoiv, that when it comes to financial matters, we do follow the Roiv. So Toshima, the Gemara wants to bring a raya to Rav's opinion from a braisa. The braisa is Amoicha Avdil Eved L'Chaveri. If somebody sells an Eved to someone else, v'nimtza, and it turns out that this Eved is a ganef, or Kavyostas, I saw two pshotim in Kavyostas. One pshat in Kavyostas is that he's a goyin of nefashis, he's a kidnapper. Another pshat I saw in Kavyostas is that he's a mesachik bekuvya, he's somebody who is a gambler. All of these type of avodim are not the type of individual you would want to have in your home. And the buyer now says to the seller, as we've been learning, it's a mekach tos. Says the Braisa Higiyai, he has the right to back out. Because this is what is to be expected. It's not unusual that Avodim should be these types of an individual. And since it's not unusual that the Avodim should be this type of an individual, so the Allah is, he has to remain with it. However, list the Mezuyin. If it turns out that the ganef is much more dangerous, he's an armed bandit, or muchtav lemalchus, he has been sentenced to death, oimaloi, under those circumstances, he could say to him, harei shelcha lefanecha, take back your eved, it's a mekach tos. Says the Gemara, the reisha that says that higiyoi, that the buyer has to remain with this eved, he can't back out, my tama. What's the reason? Mishum deruba istenenu. As we explained, most avodim are that way. And since most avodim are that way, the buyer has no right to claim mekach tos. So we see that we follow roiv. So isn't that a question? On the opinion of Shmuel? Says the Gemara loy. It has nothing to do with roiv. Rather, kula hachisnu, says Shmuel, all avodim are that way. Since all avodim are that way, so it has nothing to do with roiv, and the question that we're discussing is not relevant. So says the Gemara, Toshma, we'll try to bring a raya to Shmuel's opinion that ein hachma mamon acharoiv from a Mishnah Masechta Baba Kama, that mem vav amin aleph. The Mishnah teaches us, shor shenogach es aporo, an axe damage the para. The nimtza ubra betzida, and then this cow that was hurt was found its fetus dead, miscarried at the side of the mother. Veneidua, and we're not certain. Imachloi nachayalda, if prior to the birth, if the birth took place first, and the reason this animal and the reason this baby died is because the shor injured her. So it died prior to the accident. It was a miscarriage, and therefore the shor is not responsible for its death. Or it only happened after the baby was born, and since it happened after the baby was born, the shor is held responsible. So, as we learned in Masechta Baba Kama, this animal that did damage is a tam, and as we've learned, the halacha is a tam pays chatzi nezek. So for the mother, you have to pay chatzi nezek, like whenever there's a situation. Chatzi nezek lepara for the mother. And for the child, you pay a quarter of a nezek. Why do you pay a quarter? Because it's mamon amutu b'safek. If it was the shor that killed the animal, so the shor has to pay chatzi nezek, like it doesn't make a difference for the mother or the child. If it was the, it was the, if the child died on her own, then the shor isn't responsible at all. Since we don't know what is the case, so the Gemara says this is considered, as we've discussed many times in our shiurim, the opinion of Sumchus. Just discussed his opinion in our previous year. That Sumchus' opinion is that Maman Amutal B'Safik, when we have a question, Maman Amutal B'Safik Chalkin, we go, we divide it. So if normally you would have to pay Chatzin Nezek, he'll you pay Revi Nezek a quarter. But ask the Gemara of Amai, why is this considered a Safik? Leimahalach Acharoiv Paris. Why shouldn't we follow the Roiv? And Roiv Paris, most cows, most animals, Miss Abris Vyaldos, have get pregnant and have a healthy baby. For her, so if we're going to follow Roiv, it could be, we could say that certainly the baby died because of the shor. And if we're going to follow Roiv, and therefore we could assume that the baby died because of the shor, for her Vadi Machmas Nagicha Hepila, he should have to pay Chatzi Nezek, not like we learned only Re Nezek, because it's a mortal moment, because it's a suffix. Answers the Gemara. There, even Rav would agree that even though in the rest of situations, Rav says we follow the opinion, we go bus arrive. Here, we don't follow arrive. Why? Because there are many questions that are unanswered here. From the Sapkalon, the many questions. One is Dikla Meimer. There's a question. Mikama Asa or Mibisosa Asa? Did the animal, or Mipasa Abila, maybe did the animal came at the shore, came running towards this cow, and as the shore came running at this cow, the cow got frightened, and that's why it miscarried. And that would be considered a situation of Grama ben Zakin, and we learned many times in Masechet Bava Kama that by Grama ben Zakin, you're not chayiv, you're not chayiv b'dinei Adam. B'dinei Shemayim, we learned it's a proper to pay, but b'dinei Adam, you're not responsible. V'ikla meimer, mechara asa, it also could happen that even if it died because of the, that it did die because of the shor, and it came from the back, and and hit the mother and cause the miscarriage. So we have more sfeikus. Number one, there is a possibility that the animal miscarried. And even if the animal didn't miscarry, it was the shor that caused that this baby should die. Not in all situations where the shor created a situation that this baby should die, will the owner of the shor be responsible. For as we just explained, if it happened because of a grumma, he wouldn't be chayiv. So now there's so many questions. So even Rav agrees that this is a case of mamon mutl b'safik, and we follow the opinion that Mishnah we said is following the opinion of Sumchus. The kol mamon hamutl b'safik. Whenever we have a question like this, it's chalkim. So as we've been explaining, the Rashbam explains, when do we say mamon hamutl b'safik? Cholkin, when does Simcha say this, and when does he not say it? So as the Rashbam taught us, the rule of Mamon HaMutal B'Safek Cholkin is applied in a situation where we don't know what happened. When we know what happened, we're just not sure how to apply, what halacha to apply. Simcha does not say Mamon HaMutal B'Safek Cholkin. Here, as we just finished describing, we're not quite certain what happened. Since we're not quite certain what happened, that's why Sumchus could apply his concept of Mamon HaMutal B'Safek Cholkin or not. So says the Gemara, Lema Ketanai. So the Gemara now wants to suggest that this question that we've been discussing, Rav and Shmuel, the Machlokes, do we follow by the Mamonis, do we follow Roiv or not, suggests the Gemara is perhaps a Machlokes Tanoim. The Braisa teaches us, Shar Shayaroya. There's a shar that's out in pasture. The Nimtza Shar Horeg Betzidai. And this animal, there's a dead shar found right next to this live shore. It looks like this animal is the one that caused the death of the animal. And this animal that we think did the damage is an animal that has, that's a mu'ad, has done this three times at least. This animal that was killed was bitten. And we have an experience with this other animal that it does this type of, that it has this behavior, that it bites different animals. And as I saw, the Mefarshim explained that there's a bigger chiddush, because when an animal is found dead, we don't know, it could have happened because another animal attacked it, and it could have happened because something fell on it. When something fell on it, it will look the same way as if it was attacked. So we can't definitively say that it was attacked. That's part of the question. But in the second case, where we see that the animal that died, that was the victim, was bitten. So there is no question what was the cause of death. The cause of death was the fact that it was bitten. And as we just said, the other animal that's here has this, is a mu'ad to bite. Ein oimrim. So that's what the second case is, says the Toras Chaim, is a bigger chiddush than the first case. Still, ein oimrim, we can't say definitively b'yadua that we know for certain shezeh nochoy v'zeh nochshoy. We can't say that because it's not something that we know for certain, and we don't know for certain. We need Edom, and the absence of Edom, we can't make the owner of the shor pay. Because, as the Mefarshim explain, this is a few things. First of all, there are other animals there. Since there were other animals there, it's possible the other animals were the ones that did it. Here, so that's why we can't just say for sure that this owner of this animal should be held responsible. Moreover, points out the Rashbam, that, again, this won't be a case of Momen HaMutal of Shumchis, that Momen HaMutal B'Sofer Cholkin, because we can't be, because there's too many factors that even Shumchis cannot agree that we should say Cholkin. Rav Acha, Madan is a Braisa, that this, that quotes an opinion that disagrees with this. Rav Acha Omer, Gamal HaOicher, a gamal that was having mating with its mate, Bainak Malam, amongst other camels, the Nimsa Gomel Kharabitsidai, and we find another dead camel over there, Biyadua Shazahargai. We assume that animals, that camels, as they mate, get violent, and it's the one that killed the animal. Savrua. So we have a question. We're not certain in any case, yet the Tanakhama said in the first case, well, we're not certain we can make the owner pay. And here he says we can make it pay. And the Gemara continues, Savrua, as we often discuss, all of these questions are questions. And the Halacha teaches us that when we have a question, there are different methods that we use to answer the question. What are the different possible different methods that we could use? One is Roiv, and one is Chazaka. And the Gemara says that at this point we're assuming that when we have a question, Ruba, using the method of Roiv, or using the method of Chazaka, Ke'adodinenu, are treated the same way. And here, that the Chazaka says that we follow the Chazaka. So in this case, if we follow Roiv, so we could say, like we said before, that most animals have healthy babies. Chazaka teaches us that this animal that's a mu'ad to do damage is the animal that must have done the damage here. So says the Gemara, the man the Omer that holds that based on a Chazaka, that the camel is the animal that did the damage, because that's the way camels behave when they mate, also will rely on Roiv. And that means the Rav will hold like Rav Acha. And just like Rav Acha relied on the Chazakah, that's the way camels behave. And based on that Chazakah, Rav Acha said the owner of the camel would have to pay. Here too, he would say he would have to pay. But Shmuel, on the other hand, that doesn't want to follow Roiv, doesn't want to follow Chazaki either, and that's why he'll hold like the Tanakama. So says the Gemara, that Rav and Shmuel will both be able to explain that these two the Machlaikas by Roiv and the Machlaikas in these cases do not necessarily travel together. Amlach Rav, another Amri Afilo Tanakama. My opinion could be consistent with the Tanakama. Atkan Leikama Tanakama Hosom El Dozlina Basa Chazaka. Even though the Shor HaMur has a Chazakah, that it's the one that does that kind, it has that type of behavior. The Tanakhama says that we can't make somebody pay based on Chazakah. But that doesn't mean that I can't hold that by a Roiv, you can have to pay. Avabasa Rubez Linen. And on the other hand, Shmuel Amalach, another Amri Filler of Acha. My opinion could even be consistent with the opinion of Acha. Because Atkan Lekom Rav Acha Hasam, where did Rav Acha say his halacha? Because Rav Acha taught us that we follow Chazaka. Elo dazlin and basa Chazaka. The he gufa mechzik. Because we know that that's the animal, that's the behavior of this animal. But that has nothing to do with the question of Roiv. Ava basaruba, when we speak about Roiv, that we never follow. There is also an interesting question. When we speak about a Roiv, is there a difference, the Paiskim debate, when Rav and Shmuel are disagreeing, do they disagree about Ruba de Issachamon or Ruba de Lesachamon? Are they arguing about all Roivs, only by a Ruba de Issachamon, not by a Ruba de Lesachamon? And it could be interpreted in many different ways. It could be understood that Rav always holds that we follow Roiv, whether it's a Ruba de Issachamon, whether it's a Ruba de Lesachamon, and Shmuel never follows Roiv, whatever type of Roiv we're discussing. That's one way of understanding. Another way of understanding is that Rav only said his halacha in certain Roivs, and Shmuel only said his psak in certain Roivs. The other question that the Rishonim debate is, as we just learned, there are different methods that the halacha tells us to use when we have a question. And that's Roiv and Chazaka. And the question is, which of these methods, Chazaka and Roiv, is stronger? So if we follow what the Gemara just said, where Shmuel said that I won't follow Roiv, and that's why, but I may follow Chazaka, and that's why Shmuel says that my opinion could still be consistent with Rav Acha. So the question is, what does the Gemara mean to say? Is the Gemara just trying to teach us that these two, that Roiv and Chazaka are not to be treated the same way? Or maybe what Shmuel means to say is a lot more than, what the Gemara means to say is a lot more than that. What the Gemara means to say is that Chazaka is stronger than Roiv. If we say that the Gemara means to say that Chazaka is more than Roiv, that means when we'll have a question, when we'll have a situation of a suffix, and we won't be certain what to do, it could well be that according to Shmuel, certainly according to what the Gemara is suggesting now, and it could be true even according to Rav, Chazaka will be stronger than a Roiv, because it's a better method of dealing with a suffix. But as we also quoted, Rikivega says, that even though we paskin, as we've said, like Shmuel, and the halacha is that ein hochen b'mamen achar roiv, still, the question is when something affects mamen and iser. Now the question is, what do we do? Do we follow roiv? Do we follow roiv, or do we follow because by iser we follow roiv? Or do we not follow Roiv because it's mominous? By mominous, we don't follow Roiv. And Rekiv Eger says that the only time Shmuel says his halacha is when the issue is strictly an issue of mominous. But when something implies mominous and iser, So if we already followed the Rav as far as the Issa question, we'll follow it as far as the Mamonis question as well. He says, for example, if a Shaychit, when he shechted an animal, did not shecht the animal properly. So the question is, and the animal therefore is considered not kosher. So the halacha is that we felt that once we decide that if the animal, we have to decide if was the animal a treifa, and then the shaychet did not do anything wrong, or was it not a treifa, and then what the shaychet did was wrong. So since he says that we say roiv behemus ksheris, which is an isser issue, we also apply it to the mammon situation. Or another question, that the halacha is, the Torah teaches us, if somebody is moitzi shemra on a girl, he has to pay a knas, and he has to pay a knas to a father. Now the question is, how do we know for certain that this individual is his father, is her father? The answer is, roi bilas achabal, we assume that this man is a father. So now the question is, that's as far as Hilchas Isser is concerned. So now the question is, once we paskind to, as far as the father is concerned, as far as Isser is concerned, that it's not a, he is her father, the halacha will be, as far as Mamonis, also will follow Roiv, and they'll have to pay the knas to the father. Toshma. So says the Gemara, Meicha Peres L'Chaver, if somebody sells Peres to someone else, and again, there was no indication if it's being sold for eating purposes or for planting purposes. The Zaron V'loi Tzomchu, and he planted them and they did not grow, Afilu Zera Pishtan, and a Chai B'Chayusan. The seller cannot be held responsible. So ask the Gemara, Maya Afilu, what does the Mishnah mean to say with the word Afilu? Lav, doesn't Mishnah mean to say that Afilu Zera Pishtan, that even though what was in question over here was flaxseed, the rubel is ria, which is typically used for planting. The rubel is ria zavni. It's typically used and sold for planting purposes. But filachi, doesn't our Mishnah teach us that lo'az lina basaruba, and the seller could say, I sold it for eating, and therefore I will not be held responsible. Says the Gemara, that actually the Gemara concludes that this question of, we've been learning the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel of Hochma Mamon Acharoiv or not, is actually Machlokes Tanoim, and therefore, explain the Rishonim, if we'll ever find a Mishnah or a Braisa that our question on what Rav says, that Hochma Mamon Acharoiv, Rav will always be able to say, well, I have a Tana that disagrees, that holds that Hochma Mamon Acharoiv. The Tanya, the Braisa teaches us, Amaycha Peres L'Chaver, if somebody sells fruit to somebody else, the Zaron, and he planted them, but they didn't grow. Zaron, Ginoi, Shen, and the Cholim. If the seeds that are not eaten, then the seller has recourse against the buyer. Zara Pishtin, but if it's flax seed that sometime is eaten, although it's not common, and a Chai Berchiyusan. Rabbi Yossi Omer, however, the opinion of Rabbi Yossi is, Noisnoi Dume Zara. He has to pay, the seller has to reimburse the buyer. And why? Because we follow Roiv. And as we just said, since in most cases the flaxseed is sold for planting, if it's not the right quality, he's held responsible. Amaloi. So the Chachamim ask to Rabbi Yosei, Habe Loichan Oysel Dvar Macherim. Many people buy flaxseed for other purposes. Somebody buys it for eating, somebody buys it for a refuah, and since there's so many reasons that people buy it, therefore you can't, why are you following the Rav? But what do we see? That we follow the Machlokes, that this Rabbi Yossi say, that we follow Rav. The Pnei Shloima discusses, well, why can't the amount that's bought be an indicator why it was bought? Yes, there are people that buy it for other purposes, but people don't buy the same amount of seed when they're going to buy it for planting as they're going to buy it for eating or for refuah. So he explains that since there are many different reasons that you could buy it for different reasons, since we have many reasons that you could buy it for different reasons, all of those reasons can combine, that he maybe bought it for all of those reasons, and maybe he bought it for all of those reasons, therefore, the halacha is that we can't just say that it was certainly bought for planting. So as we just explained, that the fact that there are other reasons to be bought, that's a good enough reason that we shouldn't follow right. That means, as we explain, and but this has a deeper explanation, the Achronim explain. The people who are buying it for these different reasons are not the majority of people. Rabbi Yossi says that what is the machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and this Tana? According to Rabbi Yossi, we look at pishton. We look at flaxseed. And what is the main purpose of flaxseed? And Rabbi Yossi says that the main purpose of flaxseed is for planting, and that's why it's enough to look at it. The Tana that's arguing with Rabbi Yossi says we don't look at flaxseed. We look at the buyers of flaxseed. So yes, most flaxseed is bought for the purpose of planting. But when we start analyzing all the customers of flaxseed, we're going to find that there are many customers, and there are many customers that buy it for many purposes, and therefore we don't have a roiv anymore. Where is this relevant? We just quoted in our previous year a famous halacha that's often quoted in Shas, that if you find meat on the street, and there's a question of where did this meat come from. So the halacha always is that we look at the stores in this community. An example that's always given, if there are 10 butcher shops in a community, 9 sell kosher meat, 1 sells non-kosher meat, and we find a piece of meat on the street and we don't know where it came from, called the parish, Meruba parish, we assume that it came from, the halacha tells us that it came from the kosher butcher shop. But what's going to be the halacha? Yes, there are 9 butcher shops that sell kosher. Only 1 sells non-kosher. But the one that sells non-kosher sells more non-kosher meat than the other 9 together sell kosher meat. So now the question is, do we look at the stores or do we look at the meat? So the Achronim say that according to the way we just interpreted the Machlokes Rabbi Yossi, that will be relevant for that question as well. Do we look at the meat, or do we look at the stores? Here too, do we look at the koinim? Do we look at the people who buy flaxseed, or do we look, as Rabbi Yossi said, at the flaxseed? Says the Gemara, man tanoi, who are the tana that's arguing with here? Ilema Rabbi Yossi. The Rabbi Yossi is saying, Holchim and Mamon Acharoiv. Vamerloi, Tavayus, Basaruba, Azlidin. The Chamim say that we don't follow Roiv. Says the Gemara, Tavayu, Basaruba, Azlidin. Because in this case, everybody's following the Roiv. The Mar, also Basaruba, Dinch. But as we explained, Rabbi Yossi, those that argue Rabbi Yossi follow the customers. Or Mar, also Basaruba, Dizriya, and Rabbi Yossi follows the flax. Eli'it Tanakam, Rabbi Yossi. The Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi are the ones that are arguing over Roiv. Where the Tanakama does not follow Roiv, the opinion of Shmuel, and Rabbi Yossi does follow Roiv, or Tanakama v'Amaloi, the Tanakama and those Tanoim that are speaking with Rabbi Yossi, that clearly agree with Rabbi Yossi that you follow Roiv, the only question is, which Roiv do you follow? Tana Rabbanan. So we discuss the question where somebody sold defective seeds. And we're going to discuss it in the situation where everybody agrees that it's a mekach tos that the seller has to reimburse. Because it's something that's sold only for planting. It's something that's sold only for planting. And it was defective. And the question is, mao noisen loy? What does he have to reimburse him? The mezera v'loy hatzah. You have to pay the value, he has to pay him back for the seed, but he doesn't have to pay him for the expense that he had, that he planted the seed and it was useless. Why? Because the Tanna Kamma holds that that's considered a grama ben azakin. The Yeshayimrim holds that you also have to pay for the expenses that he had for planting this seed that was useless. Man Yeshayimrim, says the Gemara, who is the Yeshayimrim that holds this way? Arav Chizda, it's Rav Shimon Gamliel. So ask the Gemara, Rav Shimon Gamliel, where do we find this to be the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel? So Taisus asks that we have a Gemara Masech the Harius, Daf Yud Gimel and Beis, that teaches us that whenever in Shas there's a Yesh Oimrim, it means Rav Nosson. So why is the Gemara asking, as Taisus, Man Yesh Oimrim, who are the Yesh Oimrim? Isn't it Rav Yossi? So Taisus answers that they had a Kabbalah that this Yesh Oimrim in this Braisa was Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, but they now want to find where the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel say this. Another pshat that Rishonim want to suggest, that they want to suggest that this Yesh Oimrim is the same Tana as the one that argued with Rabbi Yossi in the previous Braisa, where there he wasn't called the Yesh Oimrim. So if he was called Rabbi Yesh Oimrim in all situations, so we know it's Reb Nosson. But since there he wasn't called Yesh Oimrim, maybe he's not the Yesh Oimrim everywhere. Man Yesh Oimrim, Amar Rav Chizda Rav Shimon Gamliel. It's Rav Shimon Gamliel. Hi Rav Shimon Gamliel. Ilem Rav Shimon Gamliel de Masnissen. The Mishnah that we began with, the Tanan, we learned that in our Mishnah, Amayach HaPeis L'Chaveroi, if you sell fruit to somebody else, V'zaron, and he planted them, V'loi Tzomchum, and they didn't grow, V'fil Zara Prishtan, even flaxseed, En Chai Bruch Yusun. But then, Amos Sefer, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Zoreni Goyim Shenin Cholim, Chayiv Bechriusin. If it's seed that's not edible, then the seller will be responsible. So ask the Gemara, what is the Machloikas? Tanna Kamma Nami Achi Kamer. Rav Shimon Gamliel isn't arguing with the Tanna Kamma. The Tanna Kamma said, Zare Pishtin, that by flax seed, which we just explained, is not always sold for planting, that's when who the enechai b'chuyusun, that the seller will not be held responsible. Hazarin aginish enen necholim, if it was something that's always sold strictly for planting, everybody would agree, chereb b'chuyusun. How must we explain the Gemara? Elalav, ha'tzal kibinayu. The machlaikas says, does the seller have to reimburse not only for the price, but for all the expenses. And we're going to explain that the Mishnah is teaching us that the Marsov of the Tanna Kamma holds the Meizera, like the Tanna Kamma of the Brice that we just began with. You only have to pay for the purchase price. Or Marsov, after it's all, you have to pay for the expenses. Ask the Gemara, fine. You're going to explain that's the Machloikas in the Mishnah. But why are you attributing, ask the Gemara, these opinions to this way? Mamai, Dilma Ipcha, maybe you should say just the opposite, and maybe it's the Tanna Kamma who holds that the seller has to reimburse for all expenses, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is the one that doesn't. Says the Gemara, Holy Kasha, that's not a question. Call Tanna Basra Tfuyim Moskosi, that we have a rule in Shas, that whenever we have a Machloikis, the second Tanna is the Machmer over the first Tanna. So the first Tanna is saying that you only have to reimburse for the seed. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says you have to reimburse for the expenses as well. And Ritva points out, it doesn't mean that this rule is a hard and fast rule, and that you always have to say that that's the way to understand. Well, under normal circumstances, says the Gemara, that's the rule we apply in understanding Mishnayos. But it doesn't mean that it always has to be this way. Says the Gemara, V'dilma, who says to learn the Mishnah the way we just learned? Dilma Kula Rav Shimon Gamliel hi. Maybe the way to learn the Mishnah is that the entire Mishnah is following the opinion of Shimon Gamliel. V'chsuri mechsev achtani. Hamach pesh l'chavei v'zara v'loi tzamchu. If you sell fruits and they didn't sprout, afil azera pesh that ena chrai b'chuyusin. Divrei Rav Shimon Gamliel. So it's not that there's a Tanna Kamma of Shimon Gamliel. It's all of Shimon Gamliel. Because Rav Shimon Gamliel, Omer, Zaroni Kishtim, Zeroyna Gina, Shena Necholim. If it's only if you sold something that's edible, Ena Chayiv Bechriyusan. But under other circumstances, you will be held responsible. So if that's the case, our Mishnah doesn't speak about expenses. It says the Gemara Holler of Shimon Gamliel. Where do we see Rav Shimon Gamliel says that you have to, that when the seller has to pay back, he has to pay back even expenses? This Rav Shimon Gamliel. The Tanya Malachitin Litchon. If somebody takes wheat to be ground by a grinder, and normally what they do is they used to soak the wheat to make that it should be easier to get the peel off before they ground it, and the flour will be white. It'll be better quality flour. We know throughout Shas it's called soilus. And this grinder did not do so. And what happened was, Vasa Subin Immersin, and the flour came out not soilus. It was the lower quality, Subin Immersin. Or if somebody gave Kemach Lenachton, he gave flour to a baker to make bread, Vafa Pasna Filim, and the bread is not good, the bread crumbles. Baimla Tabach, where he gave an animal to a Shaykh of a Nibla, and became an Avela. In all these cases, Chayiv Neshnoisa Socher. The person, this professional, is considered a Noisa Socher, a Shema Socher, and even though, and a Shema Socher, as we learned in Masech B'Metzia, is only exempt in a situation of Oinus. Here, they should have been better, more careful, and they're Chayiv, because Shekunois is Socher, and if somebody's getting paid, there's a higher level of responsibility. Shem Gamalil Oimer, Noisenloi, not only do you have to pay back for the damage done, but you also have to pay the Mei Boshtoi. I invited guests, and I expected to have meat. I expected to have bread. I expected to have flour. And now I didn't. So there's a boshes and I have to pay. But may boshes barchav, that there's an embarrassment to me, there's embarrassment to the guest. But what we see from this Gemara is that Rav Shimon Gamliel's level of responsibility is not just that the seller's level of responsibility is not only for the loss, but for all the other expenses as well. So the point, however, is, as the Gemara made it very clear, because he got paid. He got paid. So he's a Shema Socher. What would be the halacha if a Shoichet is not getting paid, but he made a bracha? And now making a bracha is a opportunity. So is that considered that the shaykhid got paid, even though he didn't receive any financial remuneration, but he got paid for that. He got paid with the opportunity to make a bracha. Machloikis agos mardechai and shulte gebayrim. The shulte gebayrim says that getting the opportunity to make a bracha is not considered getting paid. The agos mardechai says it is considered as if he got paid. We learned further. The Cain, since we just learned a very important rule that Rav Shimon Gamliel instituted, that when the seller must reimburse the buyer, he doesn't just reimburse him for his cost. So the Gemara teaches us another rule that Shimon Gamliel instituted. The Kenai of Shimon Gamliel Aymer, Minig Gadol HaYerushalayim, there was an important minig that was instituted in Yerushalayim, that a Moses Tudel Chaveroi, if somebody asked somebody else to prepare a meal, the Kilkaloi, and again, he didn't prepare it properly. Not only does he have to reimburse him for what he gave him to prepare, it's also for everything else. And the Mashar explains why is it called a minig gadol? Because the mitzvah of inviting guests is a very big minig, is a very important mitzvah. God lachnosus orchim yois mekabos b'nei shechina. And by you ruining the meal, you took away from me the mitzvah of Hachnosus Orchim, and therefore you are responsible. Oy Minigodl Yerushalayim, and again it's called a Minigodl because it also reflects on a case of Hachnosus Orchim. Mapa Perusa Agabe Pesach. If there was a curtain on the door, so the halacha is like this. If it's closed, this is really opposite of the way we would think. If it's closed, guests could come in. The stalka mappa, but if the map is taken away, it means that there's no more meal being served. Why? Because this is a door that's obviously a door that's kept open. But people don't like to eat in public. It's oichel b'shuk. And since people don't like to eat in public, so when they had guests, they used to put a curtain on the door that the guests should be able to eat in privacy. But when they don't have any guests, so there's no concern for privacy. And therefore, because of that, they were able to leave the door wide open to get fresh air into their home. And I saw that the Ben Yoyada explains, now we could understand why it's called a minig gadol. A minig gadol is that they did, when they invited guests, they thought about how to make the guest most comfortable. And included in making the mess most comfortable was letting him eat in the privacy of his home. And therefore the halacha is that that's why the minig was with the curtain. Specifically, it was up there when there were guests eating to make them feel comfortable. There is a question that the Paiskim discuss where somebody made a wedding and there's a caterer, and one of the dishes that was served at the wedding was spoiled. And many of the guests who ate that food at the wedding were sick. The question is, does the person who has to pay the catering, does he have to pay him because the other food was good, or how much does he have to pay? So Rav Yisrael Grossman, in his Tshuvas Divrei Mishpat, says that even though we're learning in our Gemara that if somebody ruins the meal, he has to pay for the expense and for the Demei Boishes, that is only in a case, he suggests, where all the food that was served was spoiled. But if not all of the food that was served was spoiled, so then the caterer could always have a claim, well, you should have not eaten the spoiled portion. If you would have just eaten the good food, then you wouldn't have been sick. And therefore, he doesn't have to pay for the value of the spoiled food, but he's not completely absolved from paying anything. As we learned the sugya, there's another question that comes up. What's the halacha if somebody paid somebody with a check, and the person gave a check that doesn't have enough funds? So not only does the person who gave the check have to, of course, pay back the value of what he had paid because the check was worthless, but the person who deposited the money will have to pay a fee to the bank because he deposited a check that didn't have coverage. And not only that, if this person who received the check now went and gave other people checks, assuming that he had money in the bank, when he didn't have money in the bank, and therefore all the people to whom he gave checks, the checks bounced and they had expenses and he was very, very embarrassed, will he have to pay for everything? So based on our Gemara, the Sefer Pesachei Choshen from Yaakov Blei Zatzal, the halacha is that he has to pay for all of these expenses. The question that he discusses is, what would be the halacha if the person who gave the check, the first check, thought that he did have money in the bank and therefore gave the check? So he did everything that happened here only happened b'shogeg. Will the halacha still be the same? It doesn't mean it's a difference if it happened b'shogeg or b'mezid, or maybe if it happened b'shogeg where he gave a check assuming that he had coverage. When he didn't, the halacha is that he doesn't have to pay it. Now, the same halacha will be, say to Paiskim, if let's say there was a couple that was engaged, we spoke about such a shaila previously, and the person who, and then they were planning an engagement party, and then one backed out. So, but meanwhile, they had paid for a caterer and everything else. It could well be that this person who backed out will have to pay for it. However, the question is if he had a right to back out. There's a number of questions. If the chassan, the kala, whichever backed out, had good reason to back out, will they still have to pay? And the other question is, let's say the chassan backed out, and we're saying now that the chassan has to pay. But let's say the kala's family, who had prepared this engagement meal, this engagement party, prepared something above and beyond which is expected. So the chassan, can the chassan say, yes, I backed out, and therefore since I backed out, I should be held responsible, but I didn't ask you to prepare such an elaborate affair, and therefore I should not have to pay for the value of an elaborate affair, I should only have to pay for what a standard engagement party costs.